That's warning, warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Yard Life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Our telethon, $16,000. Thank you so much. That's how much has been given. Our goal of $35,000. Please help if you can. We attempt to take the scriptures, what God has presented to us in his word, and use that to build a functional Christian worldview so that we know how to think through the news of the day. And the news of the day, I mean, some of it's scary, some of it's horrifying, some of it's encouraging. Not too much is encouraging. But we did turn in 140,000 personhood signatures on Monday. That was encouraging. But this is sort of funny. Remember the environmental group that they want the government to name hurricanes after global warming deniers? Right? Isn't that funny? And so now, that was back in August. So now it's October, and it turns out that while every agency that predicts hurricane season strength, everyone had said that this is going to be a significant or average hurricane season, and it's one of the least significant hurricane seasons of the last 50 years. We haven't had a single major hurricane, and most of the storms... You know, these tropical storms, and if you went on a coffee break, you missed it. So anyway, we could have named the hurricanes for global warming deniers, except that there were no hurricanes. So then what do we do? And of course, these are end of the world type doomsayer prophets. And of course, they would say, well, we're going to have a lot of hurricanes this year because of global warming, except that global warming stopped. What, almost 15 years ago. And by this summer, we were supposed to have no ice in the Arctic. And it turns out we have a million square miles more ice than we had last year. So go figure. So then this study here, I believe we've covered this, the Chinese study that found the link between previous abortion and depression among pregnant women. So that's a sad story. If you missed that, you could find that at LifeSite News. Very sad story. Depression, of course, is so serious. A mental health issue. And mental health, if you want to maintain mental health, you got to be careful, like kids who play too much video games. And forget about too much. Kids who play video games, like the one that just made, you know, $800 million they took in the first week with the newest, latest video game. And I won't even say the name because they beat up women, sexual assaults, nudity, vulgarity. You kill people, you get points, you kill the cops. And it's just so despicable. So you play that game at all, and it's gonna harm your psyche, your mental health. But even if it's like we let our kids play games like racing games, right? Like that. And games, but we don't let our kids play any video games that have, where you're on a server on the internet, where you're interacting with, you know, random people. Because you can virtually guarantee that those people are going to be using grotesque vulgarity and that they're going to be trying to find out information about your kids and who they are, where they live, and so on. So we don't let our kids, unless one of our own family members set up a server so they could interact like that, then okay. But otherwise, no. And we limit our kids. Recall, we've reported on a study done here on Bob and Yurt Live, we've reported that neurologists have determined that kids who play like 10 hours a week of video games or more, that they could see that the wiring in their brains are being patterned after the kind of neural networks they see in violent criminals and when people are being especially violent. Now, I don't know to what extent they really are seeing this, but that's what they've reported, that they can visibly see that when they look at criminals who's, you know, your brain, if you are a musician, you play hours a day, the piano. Well, we're beginning to be able to see that in your brain because you reinforce these neural networks for your music or your math and so on. And they're saying, I haven't done this myself, but peer-reviewed science, they're saying they could see, for example, in violent criminals, the same effect they see in kids that are playing video games. So our kids, they keep a log, the date, the time, when they start, when they stop, and it's very restricted. The same goes for Fox News. You want to maintain your mental health, you got to watch out how much time you spend with information that will make you paranoid, extra angry, right? The scriptures say, think on these things, on the things that are above, on things that are good and right and pure and holy and just. And so how much of that are you going to get on Fox News Monday through Friday? Not too much. You get a little bit from Huckabee, but that's on Sunday, right? On the Lord's Day. We also have National Right to Life severs ties with Cleveland Right to Life for defending marriage between a man and a woman. That was Cleveland. Now, National Right to Life would not defend marriage between a man and a woman. Oh, that's way too Christian and biblical for them. So Cleveland Right to Life said, we're not going to be manipulated into supporting a politician who's radically pro-homosexual marriage. We're just not going to do it because we think he is destructive. So National Right to Life cut them off. They severed whatever ties they did have. It's not like they were close or anything. How could you be? So good for Cleveland Right to Life to have the courage to say that God made us male and female and marriage is between a man and a woman. Now today, that is very controversial today. Even to say that God made us at the beginning of the creation, male and female, Christianity today would not say that. Now that's quoting Jesus Christ. But Christianity today, they say that God did not make Adam from the dust of the earth and that Adam and Eve never existed. Adam and Eve were descendants of hundreds or thousands of ape-like creatures, and that this was billions of years after the creation of the earth and of the universe. So where Jesus said God made us male and female at the beginning of the creation, Christianity today, and that God made Adam from the dust of the earth, Christianity today says no. And once they give up on Adam and Eve, there are many other biblical teachings that they reject, and we list that all at our website. So beware, right? Be careful. We have reason number 482 to take your kids out of government school. This is just so tragic. Three members of this public high school in Somerville, Massachusetts, were arrested on rape charges. It's just too horrific, of course. It's a 17-year-old and two 16-year-olds. The charges were all similar. Charge of aggravated. And the mayor of Somerville, he said, you know, sometimes college students and even high school students will do something like hazing, which easily gets dangerous. He said, this goes way beyond anything like hazing. He said, this is just outright rape. That's what this was. So the one public school student was charged with aggravated rape, and then two counts of assault with intent to rape a child under age of 16, one count of indecent assault and battery, three counts of assault and battery, three counts of witness intimidation. And it just goes on and on and on. So that's number reason number 482. How many reasons do you need to take your kids out of government school? How many? Then we also have the, you know how we're so thankful that the Republicans are standing up for us, right? And like John Bonier, Speaker of the House, he said that, the fact that lawmakers and their staffers are receiving subsidies for their health insurance is just not right because the American people should be treated the same way those on Capitol Hill are, he's saying. And so he's saying that they've got to fix this. Now, what he didn't say was that, according to emails and documents that have now been made available, what he didn't say is that for months he has been fighting for the exact same subsidy that he's now saying is a shame and it shouldn't exist. So he's fighting for it and now saying, what a shame they want to treat the American people worse than they treat us on Capitol Hill. And so the solution is treat everyone as badly. Treat everyone badly. That's the solution. Now, remember what a conservative is, and remember where you've heard this definition. A conservative today in our, Democrats versus Republicans, a conservative is a Republican trying to save a social program created by a liberal. So Republicans today, they want to save Medicaid, Medicare, food stamps, Social Security, all this stuff. They want to save it all. And Michael Medved, what did he say this week? Bragging about his support for Mitt Romney, bragging about his support for John McCain, of all people. I mean, you want to talk about tax and spend, socialist Republicans, pro-abort, pro-homosexual. Bragging about that and saying and manipulating conservatives and conservative Christians who still tune into his show, saying, do you realize the crisis we're in with the debt ceiling and we have to raise the debt ceiling? And so therefore we have to, right, stop the government shutdown, and we have to. So he's trying to twist the arm of conservatives and / Christians so that we'll go along with whatever socialism, whatever godlessness, because otherwise we'll have a crisis. Well, he must not know what a crisis is because he's in a crisis. I mean, the country is in a crisis. And so let's say we didn't raise the debt ceiling. Let's say we didn't do that. He says that's the big crisis. Well, I guess that would be a crisis, right, for Congress to figure out they have to stop borrowing and have to spend less so they could repay their debts. That'd be a crisis, right? To Michael Medved, that would be the ultimate crisis right now in the microcosm of this, the next month. And so even if we didn't raise the debt ceiling and we said, you know what, we have to cut back our spending because we have to pay these bills we owe. And so then cut back on social spending. Cut it back. We shouldn't be doing it in the first place. All right. What else is in the news to help us understand what's going on around us? Right. Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, we mentioned him on our Real Science Radio show recently. Scholars doubting Darwin, scientists and scholars doubting Darwin. We started out with one because they say, famous atheists will say all scientists are Darwinists, all of them. So he said, well, not Ben Carson. He's a neurosurgeon. He's not a Darwinist. So there's one. And then we added 100, a group of 100. and then 200, then 300, and another list of 600, and then 800, and then 3,000, and then tens of thousands, and then hundreds of thousands. Turns out there are hundreds of thousands of scholars and PhDs and professors and MDs and who highly educated, including in the biological fields, biology and applied sciences, who do not believe that Darwinism can explain the existence of the human being. Hundreds of thousands of highly educated scientists and scholars and PhDs, and specifically and especially in the field of applied biology, who say that, hey, God had to be involved somehow. And so they do lie to you, right? When they tell you that everybody, all scientists, are all of them, except for the hundreds of thousands who are not. Like Ben Carson, and so I mention him because he's had a first encounter of the third kind or whatever it is with the IRS. Remember he spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast, and people, a lot of conservatives were confused. You know, there's this prayer breakfast that the president attends every year, and it's tragic that the Christians who run it invite Obama because it's like mocking God, right? It's mocking God. So it'd be one thing to invite Obama to urge him to repent from killing children and from promoting sexual perversion and suggesting it's like what the things God instituted, the holy things that God did, to say, well, this sexual perversion, this needs to be included. So to invite him to rebuke him, that would be okay. But to invite him as an honored guest because we're going to pray to God, it's just disgusting. Would you invite what child killers, what pornographers, what molesters, what tyrants, what murderers are you going to invite to worship the Lord, seek the Lord, and pretend that that's what they're doing and they're not actually mocking God? But Ben Carson, he really slammed Obama. And so, you know, everybody loves Ben Carson. I love Ben Carson. Who wouldn't love Ben Carson other than Obama? But, I mean, we all really loved him. And when he slammed Barack Obama like he did, then the IRS came after him. And that wasn't surprising, right? I mean, it's almost cliche now. And he said that while he is not used to having encounters with the IRS, in fact, he said this was his first encounter, his life without ever having a run-in with the Internal Revenue Service. But that all changed after his speech at the National Prayer Breakfast in February. He's a celebrated neurosurgeon. He's taken kids who are joined at, you know, Siamese twins, and kids who are joined at the head, who they think, well, you're going to have to kill one. Pick which one you want. You're going to have to kill one. And he honors God, and he's not going to kill one, and he's going to figure out how to separate them if possible, and he's succeeded. I mean, it's astounding. And so he spoke and exposed Obama as a socialist and evil. And so the IRS came after him. And he said, I had my first encounter with the IRS this year, not surprisingly, after the prayer breakfast. Right, not surprisingly. And remember that we shared this, I think, only once, that Bob and Yurt Live, way back when we left LaCie Broadcasting, we were on in 80 cities, 5 nights a week for an hour. Broadcast TV, cable TV, satellite, and simulcast on radio, local radio stations, and shortwave radio stations around the world. So that was That was when we had our largest footprint. That was before they talked about carbon footprints. We had the BEL footprint, and it was pretty big. And so we are doing this, and we then left LaCie Broadcasting. We were on three conservative networks nightly: Cornerstone, America's Voice, and LaCie Broadcasting. Cornerstone out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and America's Voice out of Washington, D.C. And I'd occasionally travel to those cities and do local shows with them. But we did most of our shows originally out of Denver, then out of South Bend, Indiana. And so we went off the network and moved. I was commuting from Denver, Colorado, where my family was, to through O'Hare Airport, flying to Chicago, then flying to South Bend, doing shows, flying back, very difficult for some years. And we went off the air. We decided to cancel the show for financial reasons. I'm not good at advertising and telethons. We don't break pots and sell, you know, vile holy water and all that stuff, and sell miracles and healing. We don't do that. We don't say, if you send $1,000, then you have a healing you need, you could unleash God's power and get your healing. We don't say that. It's fraudulent to say that. So we don't say that. And it is harder to, you know, get financial support. We've done shows where we give people five reasons why you should not give money to Bob Benyart Live. That's like, don't give money to Bob Benyart Live if you think that then you'd go to heaven because you're supporting a Christian ministry. Don't do that, because that's not how you go to heaven. Don't give money to Bob Benyart Live because you think then that's going to make you wealthy, because you'll get paid back 100-fold in U.S. dollars. Don't give money to Bob Benyart Live if you think you're going to get, you know, your child is going to be healed. Right? That's not how we raise money here. So we're not as good at some ministries in raising money. And so we went off the air, which is fine, nationally, and went on the air in Denver. And when we made that transition, we applied to the IRS to be an exempt organization, so that people who want to give and they don't like giving the government more money, than they want to minimize the money they give to the government. So some people would rather give to an exempt organization. So we applied, and the IRS kept us, you know, it was a joke dealing with the IRS. And it went on for a year or so. And we spent hundreds of hours in complying with what they requested. And they never would respond. They never would issue. They wouldn't even say no. I mean, at least tell us, no, we don't qualify. But it was obviously, they didn't want us to be an exempt organization, even though there's religious exemptions and educational exemptions and so on. And so we thought, you know what? Okay, forget them. This will work out better, because we could tell people, don't vote for Barack Obama. He's a child killer. And if you have an exemption, then they say, you can't say that. You can't say, don't vote for Barack Obama. He's a child killer. You could say, Barack Obama is a son of hell. You could say that. You could say, Barack Obama is an enemy of God. Barack Obama is a child killer. And he promotes perversion and wickedness. But you couldn't say then, so don't vote for him. But wouldn't it be obvious? It's all a game. And of course, the purpose is to intimidate Christian pastors into being fearful that they don't want to lose their tax exemption. So they're going to be very dainty when it comes to standing up against wickedness in the political sphere, which is one of the main spheres that wickedness is exercised. And so the only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. So it's the gag rule. So the government successfully gagged mostly Christian churches, because all the liberal churches, they don't pay attention to it. They have the United Methodists, they have Barack Obama come and speak at their denominational events. And it takes them about 1 minute before he gets to the point where they need to vote for him and support his campaign. And remember Barry Lynn, the Reverend Barry Lynn? And I've had him on the show a couple few times. And he files complaints with the IRS against religious groups, like he potentially could do it against Denver Bible Church. But he's filed hundreds of complaints against conservative Christian churches for doing things that typically, even by the IRS own rules, are perfectly legal. And I pointed out to him that he's a hypocrite, because he's never, in hundreds of complaints he's filed, he's never filed one against his own denomination. Not one. Even though they're one of the most politically active denominations. And he said, oh, Bob, we haven't filed a complaint against our denomination because there's no reason to. I said, well, how about here? Here we have, I've got Barack Obama, the text of his talk he gave at your denomination's annual convention. And it was just within 2 minutes, he starts explaining why his candidacy is the one needed to save the nation. So couldn't you have complained against your own church? File a complaint, Barry Lynn, against your own denomination. But it's hypocrisy, of course, right? And it's a gag rule against Christians to silence those who honor Jesus Christ. And so, Bob and Yurt Live, we experienced in the similar way what Ben Carson, it's a newer phenomenon with the Tea Party. But for us, that goes back to the 90s. And it was no surprise. And I think God blessed us, because now we could tell you whether the candidate is Republican or Democrat. We could tell you, look, the guy's a child killer. Don't vote for child killers. There, I said it. Hey, we're out of time. Our website is kgov.com. Our telethon, 16,000. We need more help. May God bless you.